What this first century church did, they preach and teach what? Jesus Christ. Where did they do it? They did it in the temple, or the house of God, and also at every house, every opportunity they had. But also, you see that they were steadfast in this. They ceased not to teach and preach. So let's go ahead and read these verses together. And like I said, take this week, make a commitment inside your own heart to try to take one of these to memory. If you have your own scripture memory program and you're working on a certain portion of scripture, then great, you stick with it. But if you don't have something, learn these verses with us throughout the year. So let's read this all together. Acts 5:39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Let's read it again. Acts 5:39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Let's go to Acts 5:42. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's say it one more time. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And if you have a Sunday school class and you want to get your Sunday school class involved in memorizing these verses, I give them to you ahead of time so you can present them on Sunday mornings. But we're going to go over these on Sunday nights, and then also on Wednesday night on the front of our bulletins, they have a certain verse that's there every week. So every week, our theme verse for the week is going to be put on that, and we're going to go over this on Wednesday nights also. So just try to get these things in our heart and mind there. Scripture memory and meditation of Scripture are key to a successful Christian life and key to building a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Let's get our Bibles open to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 1 this evening. In the book of Nehemiah, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture and mostly speak from our heart, my heart tonight, about the importance of rising up and building. Tonight's message title is Seeing the Need to Build. If you look while you're looking, you can listen for a minute about our church calendar. This is a pretty basic calendar. It gives you the opportunity to mark when the special days are coming up, our Super Saturdays are on there, our senior luncheons, and we have a senior luncheon scheduled for the third Tuesday of every month, excluding on the month of February because it falls right in the midst of our missions conference. But you can so look at those different months. It has ladies meetings in there. It also has men's prayer breakfasts in there. It's got some of the different special speakers that we're going to be having. Brother Dalton Heath, he is a missionary. He'll be here on February 14th, trying to get our hearts ready for missions conference. On the 17th to the 21st of February, we'll have our missions conference with Brother J.B. Godfrey as a keynote speaker. In the end of May, we'll have the McBride family back again for a revival. Evangelist Brian Sams will be here in just one evening on May 8th. As you look there during the month of July, you see where our junior camp and our teen camp is set up for. And also in August, you see our kids crusade. And then and you're looking towards October, on October 1st, we're going to have another ladies conference. Last year's was a great success. We do not plan on doing it every single year, but we're going to do it probably every other year after this year. Just worked inside the schedule this way for us. October 2nd through the 7th. We are going to have our Bible conference. Brother Kirby Campbell will be back with us on the 2nd of October. Brother R.B. Olette will be here with us on the 3rd and 4th of October. And we're still finalizing the schedule for the rest of the week. Our Friend Day speaker this year is missionary Ron White, and we're looking forward to him being here with us. And then you've got the other things going on. Next year we have our adult cantata on December 11th. It's a little bit earlier because Christmas is on a Sunday this year. Our youth cantata at 6 p.m. on December 18th. And then also December 25th, we will be having church. I know it's Christmas Day, but we will be having church. We'll be having it at 11 o'clock. It'll be the only service. We'll take our Sunday evening service, move it to Saturday night, and make it our Christmas Eve service like we do most years. So we got a calendar there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. And I know there's a few things that are missing on there. We do not have teen activities for the whole entire year because we're searching for an assistant/youth pastor. So we did not want to schedule all those activities without, you know, giving them an opportunity. But the teenagers will be kept abreast of the when the activities are coming up and things like that. Also, communion, we'll be having that throughout the year, but we just did not put those things on the schedule. There will be different fellowship times that we have, but we just not put those exactly on the schedule. You'll know it in plenty of time, though. Okay, let's get to our message tonight, seeing the need to build. Now, we gave the challenge last week, and we talked about this idea of rising up and building, and we're not talking about building a physical building, but building our spiritual lives and building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be one of the messages in the series. But we're going to take some things from the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to go through the book of Nehemiah sometimes on Sunday nights. It won't be week after week like we do sometimes in the books of the Bible, but there is laying some foundations, trying to get some things and hopes here. We asked the question last week, in your Christian life, are you trying to grow? Are you trying to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, or are you trying to maintain? So often Christians today, they decide it's okay just to maintain. They decide that they have no need of anything, and they just continue on at the exact same level that they've always been. But see, that's not what Christ intended for us to do. We looked at last week, he says, and I will build my church. We talked about how his interest has always been for us to build in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's always to be growing. It's always to be drawing nigh to him. It is always getting closer to him. So tonight I want you guys to think for a little bit of, it's more of a topical message, more something from my heart, is seeing the need to build. Because when we go and we talk about this and we give a challenge, hey, let's get out of our complacency, let's get out of our comfort zone, let us rise up and build, let's do something for the Lord. I know sometimes the first people's minds and their hearts and thoughts are, I'm good. I don't need to change everything. I have everything I need. Everything's good. Why should I change? And today I'd like to look at this for a few minutes about seeing the need to build. Give you a little background on this story. The book of Nehemiah was written probably about 150 years after the captivity that happened in Babylon. And in this story with the Nehemiah, he is commissioned by the Lord, once he hears a need, to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, destroyed, pretty much utterly destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And this is a spot where God got glory from. This is a spot where God chose to put his name at. This is a spot God had intended for the people to go back and build. And they had been given that authority. They had been given that right. But they went back and nothing's happening. And Nehemiah here is a cupbearer of the king. Now, the cupbearer of the king is one who would taste the drink he would drink and eat the food to make sure no one was poisoning him. And this is a very precious position. This is a position of, you might say, well, he's just a servant. No, this is a trustworthy position. This is a person who is high up. This is a person who the king would even probably consult with when it comes to different matters. Someone inside his inner circle. That's how much he trusted this man. It is probably a position of leisure. It's probably a position of high-ranking official. This is someone who was respected. And here in Nehemiah chapter number 1, we see the story that begins to unfold. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, now, do we know whether or not this is a blood brother or just brethren in the idea as a Jew? We do not know that for sure. But as someone who Nehemiah recognized, is someone who was a Jew, is someone who had recently been to Jerusalem, and he asked him a question. He says, came he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So Nehemiah has a heart for Jerusalem. Nehemiah wants to see Jerusalem built back. Nehemiah wants the glory days back. He wants the place where God is to be worshipped at, to be built back up, and to be able to be a place that they could go and serve once again. Verse number 3, he did not receive the answer. He thinks everything is okay. He thinks everything must be going along well. He thinks everything must be progressing the way it's supposed to. But in verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. This is not what Nehemiah wanted to hear. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house, open up your word, and hear about this story. The thing that worries me that I see in many churches and even creeping into our church is that we become complacent, we become satisfied in the just maintaining. But Lord, you have a desire to see more people reached. You have a desire for us to grow spiritually, but also for us to disciple others. Lord, I pray as we see this story tonight, we see how the circumstances around the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, how it was in bad shape and how this affected Nehemiah. And as we take a look at the problem and we understand the need and we see the need of our nation and of our church and of us individually, Lord, it will also break our hearts. And we will respond the same way that Nehemiah does, taking it seriously, wanting to do something about it. Lord, I pray you help us to see a need to build. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about this, and sometimes I wonder why more people are not more interested in doing things for God. You sit and I think, and I look at how bad the world's gotten. It's not getting any better. I look at how more and more families are getting torn apart, and more young people are going the other way, and more churches are turning liberal rounds, or more and more churches are closing their doors, and it seems like people are calling evil good and good evil, and there's so much going on in the world today, and I wonder why it doesn't seem like people are more interested in growing and learning more and pushing more and pressing more forward. Instead, it seems like people are looking for their way out, looking for the easy way out. Nehemiah here, as I said, he was in a comfortable position, and you see, first of all, is seeing the need. Nehemiah goes and he asks. He's interested in what's going on back in his homeland. He wants to see what's happening. He is interested to make sure things are happening the way they're supposed to. And sometimes I think we just ignore the fact that there is a great need out there. Sometimes we rather just close up our eyes and close up our ears and live in some type of bubble and just go along our merrily way instead of just saying the need is great. Take your Bible and look in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 12. Actually, we start in verse number 11. He gets to Jerusalem, and I know this is not the part, there's a lot of things that are missed in this, but Nehemiah is commissioned to go and build the walls. But I want you to see what he does when he gets there. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. So he's there. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God has put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night, and by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then when I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and centered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went and what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Now, you see, Nehemiah gets up at night and he goes and surveys the land. He goes and doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. He's not doing anything to try to draw attention to himself. He goes and he just goes and sees about the burden that God has put upon his heart. See, Nehemiah has a burden to see the city rebuilt for God's glory. Nehemiah has a burden to see the walls put up once again. And the question is, do we have a burden today? Do we truly have a burden to see God work? And you can sit and you can see that you can look at masses of people one way or another. Some people look at people that are formed in masses, maybe at some ungodly event, maybe some ungodly rock concert where they worship the things of the devil and things like that. And you look at them and say, oh, they're just so wicked. They're so bad. You can look at it that way, or you can look at it. Look at all those people that need Jesus Christ. You can see the world in one or two different lights. You can see some of those kids that we bring in from the vans, and you can look at them and say, hey, we don't need to worry about them. they misbehave and they do this and they do that. Or you can look at them and say, boy, they need so much help. And what can I do? What can I make a difference in their lives? You know, there are so many different ways of looking at things. Jesus says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, when the disciples saw the multitudes about the feeding of the 5,000, they said, let's send them away. We don't have enough to help them. We cannot meet their need. Jesus says, he was moved with compassion. He saw the burden and he didn't dismiss it away. He says, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? And here's the thought. And this is what Nehemiah's thought is here. He hears the problem. He hears that the city is still in reproach, the people that are in reproach. And see what happens and what he does in verse number 4. It says, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And he doesn't just hear the news and go, oh well, that's a shame for those people. I'm sure they're sinning. I'm sure they're doing something wrong. I'm sure that they should be doing something different. No. He lets what he hears affect his heart. He sees the need. He doesn't just dismiss it. He doesn't go, oh well. He says, no, I'm going to do something about this. Christian, I think one of the problems is why we become complacent or why we choose to maintain is because we choose not to see the need. We're like the Good Samaritan. No, we're like the people before the Good Samaritan. We see the Levite and the priest. They see the person that's hurt and they cross the street and they walk around them and they pretend like he's not even there. They point at him, I'm sure, and think, boy, I wonder what that man did wrong. I wonder what sin he did that. Look, he's somebody that is in desperate need. Somebody should help that person. Somebody should change this world. But they walk away. I think it's important that we try to catch a burden. We will never ever see the need to rise up and build until we are willing to see the need for ourselves. Until we're willing to ask God to give us the burden and ask God to break our hearts about the needs that are in this country and about the needs that are in our families. Yeah, I think about this and I wonder how many have asked God to say, God, bring somebody in my pathway today that I can present the gospel to. Say, oh, I never had that opportunity. I never had that chance. We pass by people all the time that we could give gospel tracts out to. But if we began asking God and saying, God, I desire to tell somebody about Jesus Christ today. Will you bring somebody in my life to be able to speak to about the gospel today? And we begin looking for that. You know what's going to happen? God's going to bring somebody in your life. Give me an opportunity to do this. I was sitting at the hospital with Mr. Cartwright tonight, and we were there, and he was telling me he had a choice, and I didn't know what he was doing, but I figured out after a minute or two, he was going to talk to his nurse about Kirby Campbell. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, he calls me Mr. Pease. And Mr. Pease, they gave me a choice between giving me anesthesia through a tube or giving me a shot in the back. And he says, I forget what the word, and the nurse says, that's an epidural. He says, you know which one I chose? I says, I would have chose the one to put me asleep so I didn't have to go through it. And then I wake up later. He says, that's right. He says, after Kirby Campbell's story, I'm never going to have one of those epidurals again. And I'm thinking, he's talking to me. And then he begins to tell this woman about Kirby Campbell and about the things that he had gone through and the stories. And he was, I think all he was trying to do was trying to be a witness to this lady. He was looking forward to an opportunity to share who he believes in and tell this story about this man and tell the story about how God has helped him. And I thought it was great. We have lots of opportunities to try to make our God look good. But we have to have a burden to see that person standing in front of me needs to hear this. If we don't know that, if we don't see that burden, if our hearts are not moved with compassion, we will never present it. We will never say it. We will be critical. We will say somebody should do something. Somebody should change something. But when it becomes personal, that's when we need to see. So point number one is seeing the burden. Nehemiah hears this. He is in a comfortable job. He really has no need of anything. He could probably live the rest of his life in this palace, never go back to Jerusalem, and it not bother him one bit. But he sees the need here. He sees the burden. He's going to get out of his comfort zone and he's going to rise up and he is going to build the wall for the honor and glory of God. But you say, well, wouldn't everybody do that? Well, see, we live in a day and age that many people don't see the need or the burden. And they like to pass the need and burden to someone else and say, they can do it. Let's take our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3 is where point number 2 is going to come from, is understanding our need. First, we need to see the need of others and the world that's around us. Why is so important that we need to break out of our comfort zones? And why is so important we need to rise up from the spiritual complacency that many of our lives are in? Why it's just not good enough to maintain, and why we need to build our Christian lives. We need to see the need, but we need to understand our need. We need to understand our need. In Revelation chapter number 3, there is, as they're finishing up on the letters to the churches, it comes to this last church, which is the church of Laodicea. And here in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14, we're going to begin. This is the letter that's written to the church of the Laodiceans. Now, we are, many, many scripture or scholars would say we are living in this church age today. And it is typical of many churches today. It says in chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And this is the reference what Christ is saying about this church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And he's saying, look, you're not cold and you're not hot. You're lukewarm. Look what it says in verse 16. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's all in reference saying that that makes him sick. He doesn't want the churches to be like this. He wants them either to realize that they are cold and that they are dead, or that they're serving and thriving. And it says here, this makes him sick. And now listen to what makes him sick. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at the scripture is saying that the church is saying, I'm good. I don't need anything. I'm rich. I have everything that I need. I have everything I desire. Look what it's saying. He says, I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And the Lord is saying something completely different. He says, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's a difference in opinion. One person is sitting here and they are complacent. They are maintaining. They say, look, what is it that I need? I have everything I need. I have the family I want. I have the abundance that I want. I don't really need to change anything in my life. This is someone who is trying to maintain. This is someone who the Bible is calling lukewarm. But over here, Jesus says, no, you have much need. You need to change who you are. He says, you don't even know that you're wretched. You don't even know that you're miserable. You don't even know that you're poor and that you're blind and that you're naked. And then he gives counsel. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And Jesus was saying that they were acting shameful and they didn't even realize it, but there is a change that could happen. And anoint thine eyes with eyes have, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. He's saying, stop thinking that you're just fine. Stop thinking that you don't need to grow. Stop thinking that just maintaining is going to please me. He says, I want you to repent. I want you to change. I want you to rise up and I want you to build your spiritual life. I don't want you to be happy and satisfied with doing things the way that you've always done them. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we're supposed to be content. But the Apostle Paul was never content with his relationship with Jesus Christ. He always wanted greater knowledge. He always said that I may know him. He wanted to know more. He was willing to count everything else but dung. He was willing to say all those things that these people were fine with, all these things that the people were proud of, all these things that made people say, I don't need to change anything. I'm good with the knowledge I have. I'm good with the relationships I have. I'm good with where I am at with God. I don't need to do anything else. That's maintaining. That's what God's saying. That makes me sick. But see, the problem is, that's where most of us are today. Look what it says here in verse number 20. Famous verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that's a great evangelistic verse. You know, people will say, use it sometimes in trying to get somebody won to Christ, that Christ is outside the door. He's knocking the door. He wants to come into your heart. And I understand that, and application wise, that could work. That is not what the text of the verse though is talking here. The text of the verse is talking to the church of Laodicea. This church of Laodicea, who is neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, this church that says they don't need anything, that they are filled and they have abundance of goods. What Jesus is saying here, he is standing on the outside of the church and he's knocking on the door. He wants to come in and he wants to fellowship with him. He wants to teach him. He wants to show them, but nobody's letting him in. It's this idea that I know we can have church with Mr. Chambers being our song leader instead of Brother Jim. Church doesn't stop just because Brother Jim's not here. This past Wednesday, I was not here. Church didn't stop because I wasn't here. You know why? Because church isn't dependent upon me. Church isn't dependent upon Brother Jim. Church isn't dependent upon those that are sick. Our sound people, they're not here tonight. At least most of them are. One's sick. One's in the hospital. We don't close up church and say, oh, we can't have it. The sound people's not here. No, but here's the point is, they were having church without God. They were having church and they were doing all these rituals and they were doing all these things. But they never saw their need that they needed to change. They never saw the need that, hey, look, I need to realize my own need. Now, I need to see the burden that's around me. I need to see that the world's going so wicked and going so wrong. And I can't change everything. Only God can do that. And this is all in God's timing and God's plans. But God desires for me to do something to change this world and to help. And Nehemiah, when he heard the problems, what does Nehemiah do? He goes before God. He fasts. He prays. It affects him. His eye affected his heart. When he heard it, it affected his heart. It's like Habakkuk when it says he saw his burden and he says the prophet, he says the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He saw this burden just like when Jesus, he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. He saw the need. But the first need we need to see is ourselves. We need to look at our own lives and we need to say, God, there is much that I need. I read these verses and it convicts my heart because I don't want to live my Christian life by being busy doing this and busy doing that and busy doing all these good things and never letting God involved in it. I can stay busy doing 100 different things, good things, things that are profitable, things that are people will pat me on the back for. But if I do not let God in and do not let God to control, it's worthless on the spiritual side of things. And that's what this church was doing. They were having church, they were living their lives, but Jesus Christ was the only one that wasn't invited. I don't want to pastor a church like that. I don't want to live a life like that. I always want to be desiring to do what God wants us to do, which I believe is to grow. We should make a commitment, not only just this year, not only just this week, but for the rest of our lives, we're going to do our best to grow closer to God. Let him build our spiritual lives. Let him have control. See our greatest needs. Next thing is figuring out our need. We see the seeing the need, and we see how Nehemiah went and he looked at things. I would encourage you just maybe drive around in your car a little bit and just look at the masses of people. If you feel comfortable or safe, and you might want to take your gun with you, or you might want to take a couple people with you, go into a portion of town where maybe it's not as well off as others, and you see and your hearts can be burdened. Travis Klein told me, Travis was always a person who was interested in telling people about the Lord. I told him one time, he said, I wish I had as much fire or charisma about wanting to tell people about the Lord as you do. And he says, you know how you get it? I thought he was going to tell me some great theological thing. I said, yeah, that'd be great. He says, you got to do it. I said, when you do it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to desire to want to do it more. But when you don't do it, you never see the need. I tell you, one of the times when our hearts will be burdened is when we knock on people's doors, or when we go on a bus visitation, or when we go to reach out to people that are in need. That's when God allows those things to become important to us and to our hearts. We have to see that need. But the first thing we must recognize is understanding our own need. We need to fix us. We need to Nehemiah, he goes, and we're going to look at Nehemiah's prayer, probably not next week, maybe the week after that. And Nehemiah's prayer is, first of all, is about repentance. He's like, my fathers and me, we've done this wrong. We need to change. There's something he understood was him. He said, I need to grow. I need to change. I need to see that I'm like this church of Laodicea. Let's keep on going. Verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. This last verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you got an ear, let's listen. He was talking to his church of Laodicea, and he was saying, stop having church without me. Christian, stop living this Christian life without God being in control. Don't just allow him in. Let him sit on the throne of your life and let him be the one in control. So the last point is figuring out our need. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles now to Psalms chapter 139. Some of you might already know, recognize the passage, but in Psalms 139, David is asking God to search him. David has gotten to the point where he sees that he has a problem, that he has a need. He knows that he cannot be no longer satisfied. He can no longer be complacent. He can no longer just stay where he's at. And he knows his next step is find out what's wrong with him. Look what it says in Psalms 139. It says, verse 23, search me, O God. David is asking God to search him and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it's kind of interesting. David is asking God to try him, but God knows everything. He earlier in this chapter talks about how God sees everything and everywhere we are, God is there. He says, I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He talks about in here that nothing can be hidden from God. Then at the end of the chapter, he goes and he says, look, Lord, I want you to search me. Lord, I want you to know my heart. I want you to try me. I want you to know my thoughts. He's saying, I want you to reveal these things unto me. God, you know all these things, but I'm ready now to listen. I'm ready now to see that there's something I need to work on. I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know that maybe I've been maintaining for so long and I've been happy with my place. I know that I'm not growing. Lord, I know that something is stopping me. Now let me stop and sit and be still and let you teach me the things you want me to change. Not what my wife says I need to change, not what my mother or my father or my husband says I need to change, not even my pastor says I need to change. He says, you're the only one that knows me. You're the only one that can try my heart. You're the only one that can know my thoughts. You're the only one that can know if there is any wicked way in me. And once you decide and show me, I want you to lead me now. I want you to direct me. I want you to guide me. Tonight, some of us will take this year and think, okay, this is just another theme. Some of us will just say, okay, pastors come up with another little phrase and a catchy theme song, and it's great. It'll get us till 2016, and then 2017, there'll be something different, a different emphasis. It will just let this year slip on by and be exactly the way we were last year. See, that's not what God desires for us. God really, truly wants us to grow. And we made the challenge last week. We talked about it last week some. A number of people came out and told me they enjoyed the message or they enjoyed the theme song. There was people around the altar. And we said, let's not just maintain this year. Let's try to rise up and build. But you're not going to build anything until you see a need. You're not going to build anything by just saying you're going to do it. We can say that we're going to build something and we can talk about it all we want, but that will accomplish nothing. This past week, did we take any steps to try to build our Christian lives? Did we read our Bible anymore? Did we have more family devotions? Did we have more of a prayer time? Did we ask someone to come to church? You know, what are all these things? We must see this need first. Don't let this slip by. Don't let this story, don't let the thought here. Nehemiah hears of the problems that are happening hundreds of miles away, and he does not just dismiss it and say, boy, they need to change that. He hears it. It affects him, and he falls on his face. This is what we need to do with the burden that God can give us. Hear and see and let God affect our hearts and us fall on our face. But we must understand our need first. Stop trying to live a Christian life without Jesus Christ. Let Him not only just be a part, let Him rule and reign. And then ask Him, once you set Him on the throne, okay, God, You're on the throne of my heart. Now, show me what You want me to change. Search me. Try me. I don't want to just be clean on the outside. I want to be clean in the inward parts. I want to be thoroughly clean all the way through. That way I can draw closer to You. That way I can be ready to build. Until we get to the point where we see and say, Lord, I want You to see if there's any wicked way in me. We will never rise up and build to what God wants us to be this year. Let us see this need to build. To build on our Christian lives. And to build on the foundation that Jesus Christ is. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes.